Welcome to the coffee break, everybody. I have my coffee around here somewhere. I'm at Studio E, and it's a mad dash to get everything ready for Wednesday's show. So I am here. I have to step off camera because I haven't got everything working yet. So I'm not able to see anyone, and I can't do half of the things that I'm trying to do. So, but I'm here and I'm wireless, so I can hear you, and you should be able to hear me as well. So,
yes,
it's a very nice to be here.
Oh, perfect. Oh, do you want to see? Here, I'll show you guys. I won't show you one of the ones that are on set, but since you mentioned the lighting, let me just jump over here. So we've got three rooms at Studio E, and so these things are in the producer studio.
Lance, man, your cat is right there.
So these are the new light panels here. So this is what they look like. They're so much more streamlined. I don't know if you guys remember the big soft boxes that we used to use. They were massive and take up a lot of space, a lot of weight. So these can hang just from the ceiling tile. Let's tighten that up. So these hang from the ceiling tile. And
is the intensity adjustable?
There you go. Yes, it is.
Awesome.
The intensity and the frequency. So you can adjust like either white or yellow light. So that's what I'm using right now. That's what's around me right now. So we have six of those. I've got two on right now. So how's everybody doing? I know I can't be on camera as I'm kind of doing this, but hopefully very, very soon. I actually have to prepare because I have so much for coffee break, eh, Robbie? It's supposed to be my break. Come on now. I have to be ready for an interview at 1:30. So setting up and getting everything ready. But I should take a break, right? I've earned
Are
that
you
much.
The interviewer or the interviewee?
Oh, I'm the interviewer. Yes.
Good morning, Robbie.
Hi, BP9. Okay, I've got... Do you guys want me to stick with... your names as they show on the screen. So I've got B. Marshall on the top left. I've got Lanceman63 on the top right. I got Solbu in the middle eating a sandwich. I got Peter. I got BP9. And at the bottom, we got GWG without video, but he's there as well.
Robbie, you can call me anything you want.
All right.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
You can call That's me late right.
For dinner. You beat me to that one.
Sorry.
I still don't know what that means, but you can call me that too.
I will take a break. I've earned a break, I think.
Yes.
That's fair to say, right?
So I've been on the treadmill.
What do you call the cat?
I didn't call her. She just decided she wanted to take up the whole space on the camera. What can I tell you? Because she says, you're not paying attention to me, so... now it's time you did.
Yeah, my cats do that too.
Oh, sure. Oh, yeah. There's only one cat here. She's a one cat. She's a one cat house. She does not want. Any other cat. Now I don't know. No, I took her to the vet once. I had to sedate her to get her to the vet, and she she's decided something's grabbed her attention, but. We had to sedate her to get her in, or I had to sedate her to get her in the box. Took her to the vet, and the vet cat strolled by, visiting all the other cats that were in the that were lined up in the waiting room. And the first time ever, I heard my cat hiss. Never heard her hiss before, but she hissed at the vet cat. So I was very surprised. Huh. She was not a happy camper, so I know that there's no way I'm going to bring another cat into the house. So she's definitely a one cat house for sure. So
we got Robbie in stereo.
Do we?
I'm over here. No, I'm over here.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, I figured I want to be able to see who I'm talking to because I've got no ability to see anything yet. So, so I'm sitting in here.
The one little gas, but what you said.
This is very, very makeshift. One second, Peter. This is very makeshift, what I've got set up at the moment, but I'm trying to get you guys up on the TV here just as kind of a temporary solution, but I can't get the feed coming out from the producer's room, so working on that.
Yeah.
So I have to have that ready for the interview at 1:30 and be able to record everything, which is a challenge. I'm sorry, Peter. I'm like so much in work mode. I should just relax, but I can't. Oh goodness, I hate that. But you guys can hear me well, right? So that's coming off of the microphone. That's good.
Oh yeah, we hear you fine.
Well, you can chill out for about 20 minutes, Robbie.
Thanks, Lance, man.
We'll let you.
That's all you give me.
I said my dog does the same. She, when she went to bed, she had to be sedated. Mm. But the last time she went to bed, we called him in because she growled her foot on the concrete, broke her claw. And she went for both of us. So we told her that, and the vet brought a needle and some a face mask to stop the dog biting him. She don't mean it. I think she just don't like people. She just don't like vets, I don't think.
This would be a really hard time to have to take your pet to the vet. I'm glad that our dog is healthy and we're not having to deal with that. That'd be tough.
Just before the quarantine, it was about 3 days or 4 days before the quarantine. It was she broke her nail and she was in a lot of pain.
Poor thing.
You know, she really liked breaking the tooth or something.
Mm.
So Robbie just showing a quick demo of what the Pine Time watch face would look like.
Nice.
This is running on my Linux box, and I'm forcing updates at the minute. I'm time on this particular version of the app. This app is built with the generated source code that the first app produced in order to figure out where all the endpoints would be for all of the hands.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see the hour hand moves incrementally as well. as the time progresses, as the minute time ticks around, I don't update it more often than that. But this part is done. The first part was figuring out where all the XY points were and generating the source code, and then I built this to prove that I could actually use that source code to generate the clock face.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm looking at a project called Pine Cake, I think it's called, an open source app. And if you just run Pine Cake the way it is, it will draw each of the watch face hands individually as graphical items, you know, as PNGs. I'm pretty sure I remember telling you initially that I wasn't interested in doing that. That I wanted to do this in a vector mode because I felt like it would be more efficient. And so that's what I'm pursuing. My plan is to take that Pine Cake application, just take pieces out of it, and incrementally build it one piece at a time. So
great. Well, it's looking really good.
That's where I'm up to next. Yep.
Looks good.
I've got all the XY coordinates set. Now all I've got to do now is figure out how to build it and run it on the Pine Cone. So, yep. That's it.
My wife, which has bought her a new watch. You probably all didn't realize that my speaking watch. This one's got atomical clock, a radio link to a radio station in north of England, which transmits beeps to it, so it's synchronized, and it's on like 100,000 years accuracy. Quite good, yeah. Works on about 50 kilohertz or something, I think, if I remember right. It's up in Northumbria somewhere, So we get plenty of signal here. She broke her last one. She dropped it and it went crunch. So I bought another one, a cheap one. Well, a cheapish one for about 40 quid. So that would do it for a while anyway. But it's got the digital clock on it, so radio clock on it. So she don't know she's got that yet. She'll probably come in a few days, I hope.
So the Pine Time does not have any kind of radio receiver, so it can't utilize that atomic clock that you're talking about.
But NTP, though, right?
Well, again, it would need some sort of a network connection to do that, probably via Bluetooth or so, right?
Yeah, yeah.
There are implementations out there that will allow synchronization via Bluetooth, and I definitely will implement that. But until then, what I plan to do, since the clock device, the real-time clock, can keep track of time once it's initialized, my plan is to build, at a minimum, a clock face or a clock that will start off at the time that the program was compiled. That only needs to be set once. And then I'm going to add another screen that allows you, probably through a long press or something, that allows you to adjust the time. Once it's adjusted, then it should keep ticking away. Even if the screen goes off or anything like that, it should keep working.
Cool.
Until the battery goes flat and until the thing dies, right? If you fail to charge it up, then it will have to be reset at that point.
But, right.
Now, ultimately, though, it will take a Bluetooth. It will make a Bluetooth connection called GATT or something, and it will talk to a Android phone or hopefully the Pine phone, the Linux phone, and get the current time through the Bluetooth connection and do that whenever it needs to do that. So, sorry, Peter, go ahead.
There is a website that uses Atomical Clock. I used to do it on Visual Basic some time ago, but I can't remember what the link is again. And you've got the time there. I think that was 238 million years in 1 second or something silly like that.
It all depends on actually being able to make a network request to some service somewhere, and it depends on that service being there. If you're in a situation where you've got the Pine Time or even an Android and an Android phone or or the Pine phone, but no network connection, well, the phone can at least provide the time. And that's how a lot of folks have done it. They've just done it over
Bluetooth. Makes sense. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
That's interesting. I've never thought to have an atomic clock built into your watch, but I have an alarm clock. No, not in the Pine Time, but the one Peter has bought.
No,
that's pretty cool.
It's not built in either. It uses
the
sync.
Yeah, uses a radio to transmitter on 50 kHz and voltage, which come from atomic clock. They come in North America, of Japan, and Europe. They come. Yeah, we've done about 50 kilohertz, if I remember right. Yeah, low frequency stuff. Yeah, and they travel a long way away. 50 kilohertz travel a long way along the surface of the earth. So,
yeah.
Huge submarines as well. Round about that frequency anyway. So, I'm sorry, I may mislead you a little bit. But it uses that, and it's got the decoder written in chip inside to decode it. But one of the things you could do, I wonder if you could detect if the internet has got an internet signal there. If not, when you got an internet signal, update the clock again with the atomic clock. You know, do like that, you know, you write yourself when you are in range.
You'd have to limit how often you do that, Peter, because running that radio is going to sap a lot of power from the battery.
True enough.
And you don't want to be continuously updating the time from the battery. It's got a perfectly capable timer, you know, a thing that ticks. And once you
That's
set
the
time,
watch.
Well, yeah.
Kind of needs that.
You would think you'd get a real-time, you know, the thing would come with a real-time clock, but it didn't have a real-time clock included in it. I don't know why, but you would think that would be the way to go with it. But no, this thing has, it just has a timer, a thing that continually ticks. And once you set it, with the correct time of day, it will just keep track of the time after that, and it will just keep going.
I like your idea, BP9, to be able to adjust the time after it's synced, because I actually have an atomic clock, whatever, it has that feature that gets that radio signal that Peter is telling us about. Mm-hmm. And it is always off by a few minutes, and I don't know how that's even possible, you can't adjust it because it's dead set by the atomic clock. Yep. So for some reason, there's something in there that's caused it to be off by 3 minutes, and you can't change it. You can't adjust it.
Yeah, the reason for the adjustment is because initially I'm not going to have any kind of network connectivity at all, even Bluetooth.
So it's an either or. You could set your time completely.
Now,
yeah.
Yep. Cool. For now, it's going to be manually adjusted, and I'm going to. My plan is with the round clock face that I showed you. My plan is with the two bottom left and bottom right spaces there. I'm going to turn those into buttons. Mm-hmm. To allow you to cycle through the various other functions of the watch. My plan is the top left button is always back. So, you know, there's four corners, right, that I'm going to have available. I'm going to make every one of them buttons. And the idea is that whatever you get to, if you push that top left-hand button, no matter what, it will take you back either one level or back to the clock face. So cool. you get to a known place every single time. And I kind of like that idea.
Mm-hmm.
But either using a long press on the clock face will send it into the settings, into the adjust time dialogue. And then my plan is it will just show hour, minute, second with up and down arrows on each one. Mm-hmm. And you just click, 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 whatever one you want.
Well, this is great. You're doing all the work for us.
Well, yeah.
So we can just order our Pine Time and make it go.
We have to do it. Not a problem.
You're doing all the hard stuff.
The very first thing I want to do when I get it is I want to audit all the functions that the existing app, the closed source app, mm-hmm. claims that it can do.
Yep.
And if possible, even test to see how they compare against the smart band and see what the readings I get on the smart band versus the readings on the Pine Time and see if they're even in the ballpark, right? Mm-hmm. And if I can do that, I know it's possible, even if I don't know how to do it yet, but I know it's possible. So ultimately, my plan is to just cycle through using those left-right buttons to cycle through each of the functions. Clock face initially, steps, blood pressure, heart rate, you know, all that fun stuff, and see if I can't duplicate that functionality.
Cool.
The difference is it's not phoning home to China. I mean, it's not phoning home to anybody.
To Microsoft or anyone, yeah.
It'll just store it locally in memory until it gets a chance to synchronize it to your Android phone or your Pine phone or whatever it is you've got. So that would be the plan. Yep. It's my data. I want to keep it on my devices. Anyway, I just thought I'd give you a quick update. So.
Yeah, that's great. BP9 sounds like you got it all planned out. So,
I want to be where Eric is. Fault. It's all your fault, by the way. I stayed up till 2 o'clock last night watching Phantom. Oh. It's all your fault.
Hey, nice. How was it?
Wasn't that amazing? I haven't finished it yet.
How great is it that they did that?
Yeah, I can't stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning to watch it. It's a 3-hour play.
Originally, they broadcast it as if it was live. So the first viewers got to see it along at the same time with everyone. So the chat room was going crazy. 15,000 people in the chat. But it was hilarious because so many people were complaining about social distancing. They're like, how are you? You can't do this. This is not safe for the actors and stuff.
This was recorded like 10 years ago.
I don't know how many.
Yeah, how long, 20,
when was the 25th anniversary?
I don't remember.
that's when it was done anyways. I mean, it's a full audience. You'd think they would have clued in that this was a recording, but no. But so well done. So well done.
Oh, I agree. I agree. I didn't want to stop, but I knew I had to if there was any possibility that I was going to make the coffee break today.
Ah, yes. Very good. I can hear the birds at Eric's place. I almost didn't make it today. Same here, Solbu.
Yeah, me and Eric was configuring his freedom box, trying to configure proper certificates. The issue is that his freedom box is on the inside of his network and he behind the LAN, so we have to copy the Let's Encrypt certificate from the main server until the and we used an hour on that.
Oh yeah,
but we made it work.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Cool.
Hello, Eric.
Hello. It's a little bit cold in Norway, but I figured out I can make it happen.
Yeah.
The birds are singing.
Did someone say singing? I'm not singing.
The birds. The birds.
Oh yeah.
I can hear them. Yeah.
So I was a little bit afraid that the laptop wouldn't work for the mic when I have this on because it's not, no mics, but it seems like it's taking it from the internal. So.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks Johnny. Good.
And you're outside even though it's really cold, Eric. Are you not freezing to death?
No, I'm trying to stay warm. I'm something we call in Norwegian varmblodig. I'm not sure if you understand, but.
Yeah.
Hot blooded. Hot-blooded.
Oh, okay. Yep. Good. Okay.
Where are you, Eric?
At the moment, I'm like half an hour from Oslo.
Norway. Okay.
Yeah. So it's not like the South Pole. So
he's about a 10 hours drive south from me.
Yeah.
Nice. Very nice.
So I get the weather is hot. In all of the areas, or
not here? Rain and cold. Rain and cold in Ontario.
It is warming up here. It's we're getting into spring now, so it is starting to warm up. I'm in the United States, so it's slowly but surely warming up.
Yeah, it's here too. The snow is leaving. It's just a little bit on the lawn of my neighbor. It's close to the forest, so the sun doesn't take directly on that part. So a few more weeks and that will be gone too.
Yeah.
No rain here, but it's 54 and cloudy.
Oh!
it's quite warm here and it's getting warmer.
Yeah.
Well, very unlikely it's getting warmer here. And we got sun.
Pretty soon we're going to be complaining about the heat, boys.
No. we always say that it's like in the winter it's like cold when it's too sunny. It's like, oh, I want to have the winter again so I can open the windows on my apartment and just get some fresh air in. So
I'm always surprised at how warm it gets up north. Like every now and again, I'll go to Oshkosh for the big air show that they have over there.
Yeah,
which may not happen this year, depending on the situation. But every time I've gone up there, it's been very nice. I can understand why. Have you heard the term? I don't know. Probably you haven't, Robbie, but anyone in the States has probably heard the term snowbirds. The folks who are of retirement age who travel south for the winter and then back north again for the summer. So
that's, hear that nice. That term means people who have a cottage in Florida or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, they go south for the winter.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, precisely.
There are plenty of Canadians in Florida.
I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
Now, where did Sasha go, Robbie? You promised she would be here.
She is going to be here this afternoon. Not actually here, but not for the coffee break today.
Oh, no,
but she'll be on the air on Wednesday. So we're recording that this afternoon.
Well, tell her we miss her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, please.
Sure will.
Yep. Thank you.
So BP9, where are you?
Yes, sir. I'm in the central time zone in the United States.
The what?
Yeah. Central time zone.
Oh, central time zone. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I thought you were in Australia.
No. Moved here to the States more than 20 years ago, back in 97, something like that. Go ahead.
So there was like someone special since you moved?
Say again?
Was there someone special since you moved?
Well, yeah, there was, but there isn't now. She left. So, so you know, it is what it is. So
yeah.
That's okay. That's how it works. Yeah. But I decided to stay here. I mean, computers work the same here as they do in Australia. And and it looks like there's a huge demand for COBOL and mainframe skills right now. So
I would ask Bill about that, though, because you don't want to plug your 110-volt computer into a 240 outlet.
I've done that. You know that K-Pro that I showed you?
Oh, I hope it was switching.
It's a switching power supply. Perfect. I couldn't believe it. And it just worked.
Yeah.
I talked to the technician before I did it, and I said, what do you think? Is it possible? And he said, well, it would be better to go from 220 to 110 than it would be to go from 110 to 220, because, you know, some of them literally have a switch on the back of the power supply that you have to make sure you set. Well, this didn't have it, but the documentation says it's a switching power supply. So I thought, okay, let's see what happens. What's the worst could happen, right?
Well, I've actually had people at Walmart ask me if our computers will do 220 or 240, and I've looked at the box, and it says that it can handle 240.
Yeah.
In a lot of the computers.
Yeah. Even friend of mine did that, I think this is 2 years ago or something. A lot of the Norwegian the computers have a switch on the back where you can select 220 or...
Same here in Canada, right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And he said he wondered what that switch was for. So he, while the computer was running, he switched it.
No.
Yeah. It never worked again.
I'm not surprised. This is a laptop brick, and it's pretty consistent with most laptop bricks. I think every single one of them can switch between 110 and 240 volts without any problem at all.
You don't have to do anything. Yeah, just plug it in and it'll go.
They do it automatically. Works.
That's great for traveling. Yeah.
It just works.
I have a question about this power supply. Why is it getting so hot, or the heat? When it's like on, is it something about
somewhere? If it's taking it from 110 down to 15 or 19, that's got to go somewhere.
But about the switch,
I don't think I've experienced that though. I've experienced power supplies getting hot.
We'll pick that up tomorrow. I'll be back again for another coffee break tomorrow at noon. It'll be a lot more laid back for me because I won't have such a heavy schedule. But it's been nice seeing you guys. Have a great afternoon. Bye.
Take care.
I'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Bye. Bye.